Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Tommy Morris, Acting Director for the Office of Force Health Protection and Readiness Programs within the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Terry Ergens. Tommy, it's been said that most of the current medical innovations and practices we know of have been developed on the battlefield. What do you believe the potential is for other new medical innovations to come out of our current conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, I think to date we've had a number of innovations. I think historically war drives innovation, especially in the medical community. We've had significant strides in technologies that we've both influenced and developed. We've influenced industry, and I'll go over a few things. Some of the information, for example, the ability to capture information, we were able to use that type of information to drive standards of care for our service members. Like we have a joint theater trauma registry along with our theater medical data store that captures information for all the healthcare on our service member, especially, you know, during trauma situations. Our trauma surgeons were able to take the information, analyze, and help develop standards of care, new practices that allowed them to provide better quality care to our service members. And that's critical, and we're actually providing that information out to the civilian healthcare providers in the same way. So those are some of the quick innovations, if you would, in healthcare. But we've been able to apply this service-oriented architecture approach with technologies, helping to establish models and how to do that and how to do it in austere environments. We've been able to take from a technology approach and drive the communications industry, if you would, to provide better types of communications capabilities, if you would, because we have a need within the department which drives some of those things. And the need was that we needed to be able to share information. And part of that information is high-resolution images, digital x-rays, and things like that. I mean, years ago, we had a medical digital imaging system program which evolved out of the Army, in which we developed the teleradiology systems, and we really set the model for the nation back then. And we started driving healthcare to digital radiography in that respect. But that need also drove the communications industry because we needed to move the information, move those digital images. So it drove those things. I think we've affected the cellular communications capabilities and things like that because of the needs to be able to communicate in natural disasters and things like that. So it always drives that innovation. The other thing is more critical is for our wounded warriors. We've driven technologies and capabilities for prosthetics, robotics, and things like that to support our service members that may have had an amputation, for example. We've driven technologies in education, you know, to educate our service members, you know, to allow them to lead productive lives even with different types of injuries. And I think that's really, really critical. And it just keeps driving the industry. And the feeling about it, to know that we're doing right, I mean, what drives me and all of us to stay within the military is that we know that we're making a difference. You know, I could give you a story. My wife was at an airport one day, and she was heading off to Alabama, actually. And the airport personnel brought this person up to sit next to her. He was a service member. She didn't know that at the time. And he started talking to her, and he asked her how she was doing and, you know, where she was going, if she was going to the same place he was. He was heading off to a conference in Oklahoma to talk about technologies and things like that that helped him to go back to a productive life, you know, have a good lifestyle. And she had noticed that he was not looking at her when he was talking, but he was canting his head so he can hear her. Well, when she looked at him, he had scarring around his eyes, so he was an injured service member, and he was blind. And he had talked to her, and he says, well, I'd like to meet someday this guy that helped influence these technologies that allowed me to do these things. And he asked her, do you know Mr. Morris? And she goes, well, yeah, I do. And he says, well, he's the one that helped influence these things to allow me to lead a really productive life here. And he asked how she knew her. And she said, well, that's my husband. And she introduced herself. So to me, that's divine intervention. And
that's a great story.
And it's real reassurance to know that the things that we're doing touch so many people's lives. And the innovations and stuff that come out of the work that we're doing influence so many people's lives in that way.
That's fantastic. Tommy, now we've talked about some of the programs today that will benefit our American service members. But what about our allies? Are you working with NATO nations, for example, to develop similar programs for their military medical systems?
Over the past few years, we've actually worked with our NATO allies pretty consistently, providing them access to information and ability to use some of our systems. And we've actually provided information out to them and actually, in many cases, are using what we've done as a model for their healthcare systems.
Tommy, going back to the enterprise architecture for a moment, is this something that you think could easily be emulated by the civilian medical establishment in the coming decades? Or do you feel this system can work only in the context of the military setting where circumstances are typically quite different?
No, in that the military environment's not unique. I mean, many people respond to natural disasters and things like that, many organizations, and that's commercial organizations or like the Red Cross and others. So really it's just a complex environment that we work in. In that the systems that we're designing, the enterprise architecture that we have is based on open standards, open architectures. It's easy to apply these types of technologies for the nation. And that's why I mentioned earlier, this could serve as a model for the nation. And actually, if you look at the current industry, there's about 20% usage of electronic health records in the commercial sector for different healthcare providers. And part of the reason why there's not more usage or growth of this as a growth industry is because the cost of buying very small stovepipe systems that only work to meet their local needs that aren't necessarily interoperable with other things. And that's been how the nature of the industry has been in developing electronic health records. This approach that we're using with open standard, open architecture allows us truly to make a scalable system that can support the nation.
So, Tommy, I understand that Dr. Ward Cassells, who was a guest on our program not too long ago, just retired from his post. How do you expect to approach the new Pentagon military health leadership regarding some of the issues that we've discussed today? And what sorts of advances, either medical, technological, or other, would you like to see that the DOD does not have yet?
Well, Our leadership has been interesting in the military healthcare system, and under Dr. Cassell's leadership, we really strive to have transparency. And Dr. Cassell's was really motivated to take care of the service members because that's who it's all about. And as Ms. Ellen Embry steps up as the Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, she too is driven and motivated to do these things. As I took over her position as the Acting Director for Force Health Protection, her guidance to me was that as we do these things, they have to be repeatable. They have to be repeatable when we're gone because it's about the service members and delivering health care to our service members and our families. So as a newer leadership would be identified, we would hope that they would come in with the same principles that it's all about the service members. And the IT, it's about the data, you know, information sharing, data sharing, to provide the best quality health care to our service members, their families, and our retirees.
So, Tommy, you've had obviously a very successful and I would hypothesize rewarding career. So what advice would you give to a person who may be out there thinking about a career or a job in public service or perhaps in healthcare or perhaps even in both?
I would say that, you know, historically there's been a stigma with civil service and or the military, and that's just erroneous. I mean, our service members, I mean, I'm proud to say I'm an American, and that, you know, I wouldn't give the time up that I served in the military or the civil service for anything, because when it's about the people and about the American public, that's what it's about. And being able to affect so many lives, that's what motivates me, and I think that that's what motivates the people around me. And I would encourage people to, you know, look at the military as a potential career or at civil service as a potential career, because I think the return on investment for us is just, it's tenfold, you know. You just have that feeling, you know, you're doing the right thing and you can see the difference.
That's great. Tommy, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time here. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Terry and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, but more importantly, the dedication that you've given to our military personnel and their families.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come talk to you about the things that we're doing, because we don't always get the opportunity to let people know what we're doing in the military. I mean, it's been a closed environment before. But moreover, I'd like to thank all the servicemen and women that support us and support our country and allow us to have the freedoms that we have. In a military healthcare system, that's what we strive to support them that support us.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Tommy Morris, Acting Director for the Office of Force Health Protection and Readiness Programs within the U.S. Department of Defense. My co-host has been Terry Ergens, IBM's Military Health Practice Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.